This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. O God, send us this day to do the work you have given us to do, to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart. Amen. Please be seated. A church that doesn't provoke any crisis, a gospel that doesn't unsettle, a word of God that doesn't get under anyone's skin, a word of God that doesn't touch the real sin of society in which it is being proclaimed. What gospel is that? These are not my words, but those of Oscar Romero, the Archbishop of El Salvador, who was gunned down as he said Mass by the murder squads of Roberto Dobison in 1980. The readings today ask questions. What is wisdom? What does God want? What does it mean for us to pray for wisdom? And how do we live in wisdom? How do we live as Christians in a chaotic and dangerous world? How do we build a blessed society as we are called to do and to be? I think many of us would read the first paragraph of today's reading from Proverbs and maybe just close the book and tune out the rest. I know I probably would. Yet here, the scripture and the church present the wife, the woman, as the embodiment of wisdom. It reminds me of that trite little thing, happy wife, happy life. But this goes far deeper than that. And her happiness derives from her servant's service to her husband and children, and later to all who need her. Well, that should be true of all of us. But in this passage, it sounds rather patriarchal, and it is reflecting its time, and sometimes even our time. My son was married in the strict Wisconsin Synod of the Lutheran Church. Stricter even than the Missouri Synod, from which it had removed itself, claiming Missouri was too liberal. But my daughter-in-law's family helped to build that church, and Amanda had received baptism and confirmation there. So I thought it was only right that she be married in the church that she grew up in. To make Roman Catholic John's marriage valid, the couple had to attend pre-Cana and receive a dispensation. What Amanda got out of pre-Cana was a comic book titled How to Survive Being Married to a Catholic. I should have gotten one titled How to Survive All This Nonsense. Anyway, the wedding itself was about 20 minutes long and consisted of the minister preaching on wives being subject to their husbands. Amanda had omitted the vow to obey in the exchange of vows. When I met John afterwards, he told me his arm was killing him. Concerned, I asked what happened to his arm. He said, every time that guy said wives should be obedient to their husbands, Amanda gave me the elbow, very hard. Suffice it to say that Amanda has since been excommunicated from that church. True. They got the scripture wrong. The wife here provides for her family, yes, but obedience is not the way, not even mentioned. Rather, she obtains their food. She obviously handles the money because she sees a field and buys it, and then plants a vineyard in it. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. The wife in this parable is capable, but the original Hebrew carries a far stronger meaning. The woman is more literally, quote, a strong woman, a woman of worth. Strength and dignity are her clothing. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her lips. Marriage is not servitude, but the sign of love between equals. And that, in turn, builds the beloved community. The church that praises motherhood and wifely obedience, but stands firmly against women in the pulpit, women in public places of power, women who reject the traditional roles of wife, mother, and subservient members of the community, and any mention of equal rights for women subverts Christianity. All of these are moral stances, not political ones. I, as you can imagine, have lots more to say on this subject, but I want to get you home for brunch rather than supper. So let's move on briefly. I began this homily by preaching the beloved community. Treating one half of the human race as subservient does not contribute to a good marriage, much less a beloved community. In fact, Father Daniel Berrigan, S.J., called wisdom the feminine face of God. So then, what is the beloved community, the reign of God in the world? In our second reading today, the Apostle James, reported to be the brother of Jesus, tells us that by a good life, our works are done with gentleness born of wisdom. And in this morning's gospel, Jesus tells his disciples, and through them, all of us, what that means. The writer James Hopkins suggests a hymn that pairs with this, and I quote, "Called by worship to your service, forth in your dear name we go, to the child, the youth, the aged, love and living deeds to show, hope and health, goodwill and comfort, counsel, aid, and peace we give, that your servants, Lord, in freedom, may your mercy know and love." Like the text, the hymn points us not to solitary labor, not to women's work or men's work, but to needed work that is best accomplished together, work that expresses faith, hope, and love in ways that build people up and bring people together. In the current lethal pandemic, and out on the need for everyone to be vaccinated and to wear masks indoors, not as a political choice, but as a moral and religious choice based both on the Ten Commandments and the teaching of Jesus to love our neighbor. Although in civil law we are free to risk our own lives, we must not risk the lives of others. To build the blessed community, the scriptures tell us, it is imperative to care for the dear neighbor. That's also true of things like climate changes, which we certainly here in Florida have noticed this summer, and other things, gun control. With this in mind, we call each other to unity instead of political division. To unity instead of political division. In other words, to the ways of wisdom by which we all are called to build here on earth the beloved community of our God. Jesus asked the apostles what they are arguing about on the way, and they're afraid to tell him because they know that what they're arguing about is not just irrelevant, but actually goes against everything he has been trying to teach them. They want to know who's first, who's best, who's closest to him, who's his best friend. And I don't know about you, but that resonates with me. I think we often do that, even when we don't mean to. Sometimes we mean to. I remember a parishioner in Queens, when I worked in Queens, who was very fond of telling everyone that he was married at the high altar in St. Patrick's Cathedral. The high altar in St. Patrick's Cathedral. You couldn't have a conversation with that guy without hearing about his marriage at St. Patrick's Cathedral. However, that's the same guy who went home every Saturday night and beat up his wife, who came to Mass with a black eye or a broken arm. We are not called to be first or best. We're not called to be the closest to Jesus. We're called to do our best. We are called to live in love. Jesus lived in love. If we can do that, especially in these chaotic and difficult times, then we are living in the beloved community. And that is what we are called to do. To live in these ways of wisdom, to build here on earth the beloved community of our God. Amen.